Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
All right, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and we're going to land there for a moment tonight. And I'm going to just explain something to you real quick. How many of you know that or could use some hope in your life right now? Raise your hand. Is anybody out there that says, I need some hope? If you need hope, say, I need some hope. Okay, so that was a lot of us. Some of us don't need it, but I know this, I need hope. And I know that if I need hope and others need hope, you may need hope as well. And so by the end of my message, my prayer is this, that you would understand hope and what hope is. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, if you can go there with me, I'll be reading at the New Living Translation. The title of my message tonight is Hope Has a Name. Hope has a name. Someone say it with me. Hope has a name. One more time. Hope has a name. You want to know what his name is? You're going to find out later. And I know you're thinking, what is it? Well, his name is, come on, his name is what? No. His name is what? There it is. His name is Jesus. I'm so glad that Jesus came into the world. I don't know about you guys, but I know at a time of my life, I was headed on the wrong path. Anybody out there agree with me, just wave at me. You are not gonna get a perfect person up here, I promise. I'm transparent, I'm gonna be real with you. There was a time in my life where I know that I was heading down the wrong path. I know I was heading down the wrong direction. I know that at that moment, if I would have died, I would not have made it to heaven. Is anyone else out there that could say I'm with you on that? There was a time in my life where I did everything, and I mean everything just about, that maybe some of y'all have done too, or maybe you haven't, but I've done enough in my life to realize something. I really needed hope. And I'm not talking about the word H-O-P-E and the word hope. I'm talking about I really needed Jesus in my life. And as I was heading down this dark path and this dark direction and this dark way of my life, I knew I needed something that was gonna change me. I knew I wasn't gonna change on my own. I knew I wasn't gonna get to a place and just be like, oh, I'm gonna change one day. No, I had to have a radical encounter with Jesus. I had to have a transformation with Jesus to a place where I had nothing else that I was gonna do in life because I was about to do a long sentence in life and God changed it at that moment. Oh, can I just talk for a moment? There was a time in my life where, yes, this pastor looked at me like there's no way, was locked up. Y'all like, no way, dude. Like, get off the platform, there's no way. No, it's true. There was a time in my life where I was heading down the wrong path. And there was a time in my life where I was gonna be doing a long sentence. But something happened during that time. His name was Jesus. And the encounter that I had with Jesus was something I never ever would have thought that I would have had. But it was basically like this. I was in a cell and he literally, a friend that I knew had walked by who I had gotten in trouble with was doing 25 to life. And as I'm in there, I've never really shared this with anybody, so I'm being very transparent with you guys. So please don't be like, yo, that pastor's crazy. I'm a little crazy, but I'm crazy for Jesus, okay? Because he changed my life. I'm in there behind the bars, and here's what I hear. If you don't give me your life, you'll be here for life. And at the moment I heard that, I kid you not, one of my boys back in the day, I saw his tattoo as he walked by. And God reminded me, if you don't give me your life, this is where you'll be for life. Now, I don't know much about you, but I'm so glad that hope was introduced into this world. Now, I know some of you may have a story like that or a different story. Really, it doesn't matter what our story says or what it's about. Here's what matters. There was a time in our life where we didn't have Jesus, and Jesus showed up, and now we have him. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says it like this. And she will have a son, and you are to name him. You're to name him who? Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. I love this verse because here's the thing. It doesn't just remind me of like this Christmas story boiled down to hope coming to earth. What I love about this verse is it speaks life. And personally, it speaks life for me. Because this was a verse that I remember that one day, because where I was, I'm not there anymore because there was a thing called hope that showed up. And because the hope showed up, who is Jesus, it changed not just my life, but it changed everything around me. It gave me a new life. It gave me a new place of freedom. It gave me a new perspective of life. And it gave me something new that I don't know about you, but sometimes I just can't hold on to it. I got to tell everybody about it. Because we're meant to be carriers of hope. Come on. We're meant to be carriers of the name of Jesus. And if he came to us, we should definitely come to a place to be like, I want to share him with everybody. But why don't we do that? Because we're not comfortable. Come on, somebody. We're not comfortable sometimes. And we like to live in our own little world and not be challenged in other places. But yet, he saved you and I. Don't you know there's so many other people out there he wants to save? Come on. And don't you know that you could be the one to help bring that person to Christ? Come on, somebody. Don't you know you could be the person to invite somebody? Don't you know you could be the person to lead in the prayer of salvation and lead them in the sinner's prayer? Don't you know that you could be that one? Don't you know that God wants to use you? You don't have to have a platform. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to be a preacher. You could just be a disciple, which all of us are disciples of Jesus, and he's given us all a mouthpiece to preach his word. See, I used to think I had to wait to be behind a pulpit to do it. And then one day I was out with a pastor a long time ago who was telling everybody about the rock and the church. And I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Because he looked at me and said, listen, you don't have to have a P in front of your name to invite somebody to church. So you know what I did? I got invite cards years ago, and I started giving them to people as I went out. Because I picked up on something. Hope didn't just set me free. Hope sets everyone free. And if it did what it did in my life, it could do it in your life as well. Listen, hope didn't wait for you to fix yourself. Hope didn't wait for you to find it. Hope didn't ask you to climb up. Hope came down. Hope came down to you, and his name is Jesus. He shows up when you need to be fixed. He sets you free from your shame, your guilt. He sets you free from the things that you carry. Some of us have been carrying things since we were 13 years old, and we're 40-some years old, and we're still carrying the same guilt, the same fear, the same shame. But yeah, hope came to set you free from it. You just got to grab a hold of it. He stays with us through every trial, every storm in our life, he stays with us through. There hasn't been one thing that I've gone through in life where I have not felt Jesus. Everything I've walked through, everything I've gone through, and everything I continue to go through, I feel Jesus. Now, there's some days where I'm like, Jesus, where are you? And he's like, I'm right here. Where are you? I know I'm not the only person like that. Come on, somebody, agree with me here. Some of you probably feel like that right now tonight. And he's like, I'm right here. I told you to go to the altar. You stayed in your seat. I begged you to go to the altar. I just kidding, y'all. So here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Write it down if you can, but here's the question I want you to ask yourself tonight. Am I expecting hope to come only when things are perfect, or am I willing to see that it has already shown up in my life through Jesus? Write that down. I'll say it again. Am I expecting hope to come only when things are perfect, or am I willing to see that it has already shown up in my life through Jesus? So tonight I want to give you three truths about hope. First one is this, if you're taking notes, for you note takers in here, number one is this, hope made an entrance. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, it says it like this, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said, I bring you what? Good news that will bring joy, someone say joy, to all the what? People. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Brought us good news. What's the good news? Jesus. With Jesus comes what? Joy. Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a lot of times in our life where we can't find joy, but yet God is the joy, and yet we forget that he is the joy, so now we don't have the strength. But yet God said, I need you to understand something. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, this: the more joy you have with God, the more strength you're going to have to live. The more strength you're going to have to fight your battles. Come on. The closer I get to God, the more joy that I have. Guess what? The more strength that I'm going to have to get through hard times. The more strength I'm going to have when obstacles come my way. Now listen, I can't tell you that no obstacles are going to come your way. Here's the deal. As a Christian, as a believer, if I could be honest with you, you are going to have obstacles. If you believe me, yell amen. That means you've all been there before. But here's the key to get through them. Have the strength and the joy of God. Rejoice in those things. I know it's not easy. I know it's hard. But if the joy of the Lord is our strength, where do we find the joy? In the Lord. What does that mean to you and I? That means this. Let's translate this for a minute. What does that mean? It means this. Whatever you do in life, have joy because God has given you the strength to do it. I believe this. I believe sometimes if we'd have a little more joy in our life, and I'm preaching to myself, guys, I'm being honest with you. But I believe sometimes that we have a little more joy in our life about things in our life that God's doing and not what we don't have. I believe you'll see God do a lot more. I believe a lot of times we don't have joy because we see what others do and others have. And then we say to ourselves, well, if they have that, why can't I, God? And God, I'm a Christian, and I'm lifting my hands in church, and I'm in church, and I'm going right in my Bible. But listen, maybe their path is different than your path. And here's the deal. Let them walk their path, rejoice for them in their path, and you worry about your own path, and watch God move in your path. And so when hope was introduced, and hope was introduced to the world, and hope had an entrance, guess what? It had an invitation for you. He had you as an invitation. Jesus said, I came to, he wanted to come and he wanted to die for all of our sins. In other words, he desires all of us to be in his kingdom. Does that mean everybody's gonna be in his kingdom? No. Because those that reject him won't be in his kingdom. But those who receive him, guess what? They will be in his kingdom. So here's what it means. You may have not thought you had a second or third chance in life, but you do. You really do. Because maybe you messed up earlier, maybe you messed up before, but now hope was introduced, and now you have an option, an opportunity to give your heart and life to Jesus. And the Bible says you become a new creation when you give your heart to Jesus. So guess what? Now you've been introduced to something new. Because I know there's times in our life where we feel like I've tried this, this never worked, I keep trying this, it's not working, nothing's working in my life. Here's what's gonna work. His name is Jesus. That's what's gonna work. No matter what fear, no matter what doubt, no matter what worry, no matter what shame, no matter what insecurity, no matter what loss, his name is Jesus. And there is no name above the name of Jesus. Jesus' name is more powerful than any name that's out there. Jesus' name is greater than any other name that's out there. I love this quote from Max Lucado, great author. Writes this and says, God doesn't wait for us to get it together. Thank God. He meets us right in the middle of our mess. You know what this reminds me of? There's a story in the Word of God. And some of you may be familiar with it. Some of you may not be familiar with it. But in Luke chapter 15, there's a story of a man who has two sons. And in this story, this man has two sons. And one of his sons takes his inheritance a little early. And as he takes his inheritance, he goes out there and he wastes it on nothing good. He just wastes everything. It'd kind of be like this. Let me just put it in San Bernardino language real quick. He went to the bars. He went to the clubs. He got the drugs. He got the alcohol. He just took all this inheritance and blew it all in one spot. Just wasted it. Wasted all of it. But something happened during this time of wasting everything. He came to a place, a realization. Now, I don't know about you guys, but how many has ever felt like you've wasted some things and you've done some things in your life, but then you've come to a place to realize, why am I doing that? I shouldn't be doing this. I know this is isn't what God would want me to do, and I know I shouldn't be in this place. So he wasted all these things on prodigal living, basically, is what it's called. He's called the prodigal son. And basically what happens is he wastes everything, spends it all, but then he comes back because he realized something. I have nothing, and my dad owns all this stuff. I can just go back and work for him. I could just go back and be a part of what he's doing. I don't need anything else. I'm tired of living this way. But you want to know what's really interesting about this story? Is he doesn't go back to just his father giving him a position or working slavery for his dad. You know what he does? His dad gives him the best of the best. His dad met him right where he was. His father met him right at the place where he was. His son didn't come back with his crazy apologetic speech or anything. He just came back and his dad had open arms. That's the imagery of what Jesus does in our life. We may go one way, we may go another way, but the imagery picture is this. Jesus' arms are open, waiting for you to come back. And just like this father embraced him, oh, don't you know something? He just wants to embrace you and hold you. And you experience his touch and his love. Just like Jesus, listen to this, just like Jesus met the prodigal son, he wants to meet you right where you are today. Just like he met him in that place, right where he was at, he wants to meet you and I in the same way. Maybe you feel broken. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you're in this place, you feel far from God. And you're waiting to be cleaned up and you're waiting to get all fixed up first. But he's not waiting for that. All he's waiting for you to do is take a step and realize, I need Jesus. And he's realizing you need to come back to the Father. Because what happens when you come to the Father? You feel his presence. What happens when you go to the Father? You feel his love. What happens when you go to the Father? You feel him. And that's what he's waiting for you to do. Maybe you're in this place tonight and you're saying, Pastor, I'm broken. Pastor, I'm in a hurt place. I'm in a place where I don't know how to get out of. I'm in this dark place. I'm in a struggle in my life. I'm in a divorce right now. I'm in the middle of my kids not wanting to live with me. They want to live with their dad. I'm in this situation. I'm in this type of situation. But yet all Jesus is saying, my arms are open. I'm waiting for you to come back so that I can embrace you with my love. When that son ran back and his father embraced him, changed his life forever. Changed his life forever. You know what that means? Church, listen, here's what that means. When you go back to your father and you embrace God's love in your life is changed forever. How many in this room could say you've had an experience with God's love before? Raise your hand. Was your life changed? I don't hear you. Was your life changed? Was your life changed? Is it changed now? There you go. I love what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. It says this, and I am convinced that nothing, say nothing, can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of who? God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hope showed up not to leave us where we were, but to meet us right where we were. And here's what it wants to do next. It wants to lead us to freedom. Hope breaks chains. Now, I don't know. Let me just be a little real tonight, if that's okay. But I don't know about you, but how many of you have known that you need to be broken free from chains in your life? Anybody? Anybody? I'm not talking about the necklaces you got on your neck. Those are nice. I'm talking about chains that are holding you down. Anybody? I'm talking about like spirits, perversions. I'm talking about addictions. Anybody with me on that? Just wave at me. Okay, now I see everyone. And so there's a time where, you know, we need to be free from these things. Because here's why. If we don't get free from those things will control us. And if we don't get free from those things will keep us bound. And there was a time, even in my life, where I was tied to every chain you can think of. There was all kinds of chains that I had. I had addictions. I had perversions. I had thoughts of suicide. I had mental stuff. I had depression. I had every chain you can think of. Man, you're thinking this pastor is jacked up. Yes, I was. But then hope came. And I had all these different things that I was dealing with in my life. And these chains are ones that will hold you down. These things are demonic. These things will keep you in a place. They will keep you stuck. And if you don't get free from them, like I said, it will control you. And if you allow it to control you, it's not going to steer you in the right direction. And you know, let me just go back to this real quick. I know some of us are thinking, well, I don't have those kind of chains. You might have a different chain. You might have a chain of being a workaholic. You might have a chain of working so much, your wife is tired of you because she never sees you. You might have a chain of trying to impress everybody. Come on, insecurity. I need to be like this. Oh my gosh, I gotta look like this. Oh my gosh, I gotta do this. I gotta sound like this person. I gotta be this person. No, you don't. Stop. Just be who Jesus made you to be. You might have a chain to food. Come on. Some of y'all, now y'all like, I don't like you. Because you think about going to In-N-Out after church right now. You got a chain to food. Instead of getting to God's word, you're getting into your burger already? Come on. We got to pull back from that. Come on. We got to loosen that up in our life. See, these are things that will keep us bound. Some of us have a chain to fear. Manipulation, ooh, come on. Like, I'm being real with you. I'm being honest with you. There's a lot of chains. So maybe your chains didn't work with my chains, and my chains don't work with yours, and that's okay. We all carry a chain. But beyond we all carry a chain, which is truth, we do. Beyond that, what we have is a chain breaker. We have somebody that breaks those chains. If we're willing to allow him to be in our spaces and we're allowing him and inviting him into our realm, guess what? He wants to break those chains off of your life. He doesn't want you stuck in prison. He doesn't want you stuck and bound. Instead, he goes, I want to free you so you can be my child and live a free life of freedom. Problem with Christians today, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not saying this to any of you. You guys are super holy Christians. Problem with Christians today is they're allowing these chains to keep them bound. And they're not doing what God is asking them to do. And what I mean by not doing what God is asking them to do is they're not forgiving somebody from their past. They're not honoring somebody they're supposed to be honoring. They're not stepping into the things that they're supposed to be stepping into. Because there's a thing that starts with an F. Anybody know what it is? F-E-A-R. Anybody know? Fear creeps in and tries to take us out. And church, let me be honest with you, man. Fear has tried to take the church out for a long time. And it's time to stand up, take the faith out, and say, I'm not going to be in fear anymore, but I'm going to live my life in faith. Did you know a lot of you are doing things in your life you won't do because you're stepping out, and you're not stepping out because of the fear in your life? You are called to do certain things in this room. There are people in this room called to do things that you never thought you were, but you're allowing fear to control you. You're allowing that chain to pull you back. God may have spoken to you about serving in a ministry and you yet haven't done it because you can't get over a hurt from another place that's not even this place. It was 10 years ago and you're still stuck there. And God's saying, free yourself so I can use you in my kingdom. Church, can I challenge you? Push through these things. Push through these things. Because we have hope. And hope breaks chains. Like I said in Matthew 1:21, for he will save his people from their what? John 8:36 says it like this. So if the Son sets you free, you are what? Truly what? And Romans 8:2 says it like this. The power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of what? Here's the deal. Push through these things. Allow God to be your hope in these things. He wants you to be free. Peter was, in Acts chapter 12, there's a story in the Word of God. Peter was arrested and he was put in prison. He was chained between two guards with soldiers stationed outside. The situation seemed hopeless for Peter. He was trapped, facing danger. The odds of escape looked impossible. But here's what happens. He falls asleep and realizes something. He wakes up and he's free and he's led out of a town. Why? Jesus sent an angel to come to set him free from the prison that he was bound to. Did you know this? He wants to set you free from the prisons you're bound to right now. How many could be honest with yourself and say you're bound to a prison here? Raise your hand. Come on, anybody? Where are my real people at? Wave at me. Wave at you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Wave at me. Okay, I see a lot of hands going up. If that's you, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I bind up right now, God, every foul thing, God, that's working against your church, God, and working against your people, God. I come against these spirits. I come against these lies. I come against these obstacles. I come against these oppositions, Lord. And right now, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, these things that they're bound to, God, that, Lord, you would set them free now in Jesus' name. Remove these things, God. Get these chains out of their life, Lord. Let them get rid of these things, Father, right now. By your power, in Jesus' name. We all said? Amen. Amen. Former pastor, former preacher says it like this. Tony Evans says, God's power is not limited by our chains. He shows up to break what we cannot set us free. In other words, this. I'll say it again. God's power is not limited by our chains. He shows up, breaks what we cannot, and sets us free. Psalms 34:17 says this, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their what? Troubles. Isaiah 67:1 says it like this, he is sent to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be what? Freed. Think about this for a moment, church. I want you to think about this. We just prayed these things off. But I want you to remember this. Think about the chains that were in your own life. Think about the fear, the guilt, the addictions, the shame. Think about whatever chain it was that you were fighting. And know this, God's hope has a power to free you. And know this, we just said a prayer that broke chains off of our life. Remember that and don't forget that. When you walk out of this place tonight and you leave this room, don't let the enemy say, you're still bound, you're still stuck. You say, devil, I'm not. I'm a child of God, and I'm free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, if you believe that tonight. Tonight, I want to end with this. I just want you guys just to think for a moment. And I want you to reflect on something right now, just for a moment. And I want to say this quote from Christine Kane that hit me really hard. Great preacher. Actually, she was here the other night, last night. Phenomenal word of God. Great quote says, hope isn't the absence of struggle. It's the presence of God in every step. I just want you to think on that for a moment. As we close out tonight, I want you to think about that. I'll say the quote again so you get it. Hope isn't the absence of struggle. It's the presence of God in every step. In other words, this, it's not the absence of our struggle at all. But here's what we need to know. Hope is in the presence of God. And as we step in and get closer to God and to his presence, guess what? Hope gets downloaded to us even more and more and more. I don't know about you guys tonight, but I know this. I need more hope in my life than ever. Does anyone else need that? Just wave at me if you need hope in your life. We all can sit into a place and say, I need hope. Hope is not a feeling. Hope is not a season. Hope is not a wish, and hope is not so sentimental Christmas energy. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. He showed up, he sets you free, and he stays with you on a regular basis of your life. Tonight, I want you to ask yourself this last question tonight. A couple questions I want you to write down if you can. And ask yourself, where do I need hope today? Do I need hope to show up again in my life? Do I need hope in my marriage? Do I need hope with my kids? Do I need hope to set me free from an addiction that I'm in? Do I need hope to help me get over an offense that I'm stuck in? Do I need hope to stay with me in this storm that I'm in right now? Take a moment, write it out. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you tonight. Where is it? In what place do I need hope? Do I need hope in a direction for a job? And then I'm going to close with this tonight. Hope isn't an idea you reach for. He's a Savior who reached for you, and his name is Jesus. Come on, give it up for God tonight if you got a word from Jesus.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of him. Who's him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.